Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Well, good morning, and welcome to those who are in the house, those who are online. Welcome to our service this morning. Thank you, Phil, for leading us in worship this morning. And a special thanks to our tech team who are working so hard. They do such an amazing job. Would you join me in just expressing that? And we can't hear you at home, but I trust that you applauded along with us. Well, last Sunday, we embarked on a new series of messages we have entitled Alone with Jesus. And while this pandemic certainly drags on, and again, this will be last time again for a few weeks that people are able to join us here in the auditorium. And I know for all of us, we are so tired of it. It has provided the opportunity for most of us to spend more quiet time before God. Now, I do say opportunity to do so, but I am very aware that that doesn't mean you actually have or are. Because it's also been a time when people have spent a lot more time cooking, watching TV, surfing the internet, playing video games, pursuing home projects, and a whole variety of things, some with great benefit and some, well, maybe not so much. Whether you have or haven't thus far, this series is about pursuing that opportunity we still have to delve deeper into the dynamics of our souls, to explore your inner life in more quiet before God, to actually reflect and grow your relationship with Jesus and draw near. I love that verse in James 4:8, which says in part, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't that great and encouraging news? God will respond to your taking steps to develop a relationship with him. And in fact, I believe he longs to do so. And so this pandemic, as hard as it is, does provide for most of us really kind of an unusual opportunity to draw near to God, to draw near to Jesus. And we are hoping that this series will help you make the most of that opportunity. And it will impact not only how you continue to navigate this pandemic, but really how you do life with Jesus when this pandemic is far behind us and we look forward to that day. I believe that this series can be transformational for each of us. And I invite you to pray that along as we continue in this series. And today, I want to explore with you really a central aspect of our life with Jesus. And that is praise and thanksgiving. And the anchoring text are these three short but significant verses from 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, which say this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We may often ask or consider the question, we've all done it, well, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will for us in this decision or issue I'm facing? Well, these verses actually answer an aspect of that question in a surprising way. For God's will may be primarily, or at least in the first place, about how you face the decisions and challenges of your life, more than having the right answer regarding the what. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If any of you have actually taken these verses to heart, you know how challenging they can be. The significance of these verses were pressed home to me a few years ago when a Filipino woman in the congregation I was serving suffered a stroke. Simone had been quite athletic, active, healthy. But after that stroke, even with some significant recovery from the initial impact of the stroke, she continued to suffer significant paralysis on one side of her body. It impacted her speech in some ways, although she was still able to communicate. But amazingly, she established this as her anchoring verses as she faced the new reality of her life. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. She would repeat these three short verses every time she shared. It was foremost in her mind. She determined to meditate and apply this verse to her circumstances each and every day. And while she had ample opportunity and reason to complain, she anchored her life in this response and opened her life to how God would meet her in her circumstance. This is not easy to do. I do not find this easy to do. My wonderful patient wife will tell you that I do not find this easy to do. I am not naturally, by disposition, an upbeat, optimistic, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. My tendency to see the negative, downside, the problem, that I have grown in this area, and I believe I have, is an act of God's grace in me, but I recognize I still have lots of room to grow. But this I know, and continue to remind myself, that I am a better person, and I am better for others, and I am more centered in Jesus when I take these verses to heart and let them shape me. Let me suggest that if we grow in this area of joyful praise and thanksgiving in the midst of whatever circumstances touch our lives, I can promise you this, that our relationship with Jesus will deepen. And we will be stronger and healthier as individuals. And even our relationships with others will be healthier. For you see, the fact is, isn't it? If you're a sourpuss, always complaining, whining, well, people just don't like to be around you that much. But there is something so attractive about people who face their difficult circumstances with an inner joy and a resilient thankfulness. So, how do we develop this? Well, I want to explore some things with you. And I think that one of the first things we have to face that I have to face, navigate. If we're going to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances, is we're going to have to face those negative feelings. Many, if not most of us, have struggled with more feelings of being down or depressed in this pandemic than maybe any other time in our lives. And it is understandable. This pandemic has brought huge adjustments and change and loss and uncertainty and anxiety in our lives. And I expect we are all aware of the mental and emotional stress that people are experiencing that is off the charts, off the charts. But when we think about rejoicing and giving thanks, so often we are confronted with those powerful feelings that, at least on the surface, are anything but thankfulness and joy. And they see the temptation is to stop there, to stop there. Nobody wants to pretend to be joyful when they're not. And I don't believe Christianity asks us to stuff our feelings or deny our feelings or simply put on a happy face when we're feeling down. In fact, in a few weeks, I'm actually going to be speaking on the topic of lament, which is also appropriate. You see, there are many facets of our life with Jesus, and one does not negate the other. But listen. Even in times of lament, even in times of sorrow, even in difficult circumstances, even with all the emotional and mental struggle we are going through right now, we can praise and give thanks to God. And in fact, it will help us. It will help us. And too often, we stop at our negative or down feelings. And we kind of give ourselves a pass from spending time with God until we're in a better mood. We feel more thankful and joyful. But in reality, we need to do the opposite. We need to come to God with all our feelings, with all our challenges, with all our emotional, mental stress, even with all our questions and doubts, and spend time in His presence, knowing He invites us to come as we are and to draw near to Him so that He can meet us and work His grace in us. And if we do that, if we don't give in to some kind of strange thought or notion that we have to feel joyful or thankful before we come to God, that we will inevitably find ourselves praising God for His faithfulness to love us regardless what we're feeling, for His patience with us in our struggles and doubts. We will begin to praise Him for His mercy, for His gentleness, for His comfort, for His renewing strength in our weakness. If we press on through those initial feelings and start talking about to God about what we are feeling and what we are going through, then we will experience the truth of those words, that God draws near to those who draw near to Him. You see, when the Scripture tells us to rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances, it is not telling us we need to always feel thankful or feel happy. For joy and thankfulness are actually much deeper than that. And I think that they are frequently more like decisions we make or perspectives that we hold on to, mindsets that we establish that come from a deep awareness of who God is and His abiding goodness and faithfulness even in the dark times in our lives. It's like the truth that the sun is still there in all its power and brilliance and beauty, even on those dark days filled with clouds and rain. So it is not inconsistent or fake when we thank God for his goodness, even when we are in pain, even when we are in trouble, even when we are feeling sad or discouraged. Why? Because his goodness is far more surpassing than my present circumstances. If you have not already done that, work through that in your spiritual journey. It is time that you confronted the thought or practice that you can only worship God and you can only rejoice, you can only give thanks when you feel like it. For God is worthy of your worship all the time because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever in all our circumstances. And I believe that you will discover that so often in the midst of our decision, our obedience, our faithfulness to praise and thank him in all circumstances, that we will actually experience renewed strength to face whatever difficult situations we are going through. If you've never done that, let me encourage you, give it a try. Give it a try as an act of will. Spend time praising God when you least feel like it. And see, just see what happens. So we're going to need to work through our feelings. But I've also found that we're going to have to deal with what I call Thanksgiving stealers. And I want to look at three with you. And the first that I think is so very prevalent in our society today is this sense of entitlement. Entitlement. You see, entitlement is the attitude or perspective that gets expressed so commonly in the phrase, I don't deserve this, and I don't deserve that. Silently expresses, I actually have a right for more of this and more of that, more of the other thing. I deserve better. I've not been treated fairly. The ever popular, that's not fair. But you see, here's the problem. If everything I have is really less than what I deserve, what I'm owed, why be thankful? If I really feel that the good things of my life are really simply just what's due me, the bad things are patently unfair, maybe even unjust, where's the room for gratitude, thanksgiving? But a biblical worldview is quite startlingly different. Scripture teaches this beginning point. Life is a gift. Your life is a gift. My life is a gift. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. That you and I even exist is owed to the one who made us, to our Creator. Every new day that exists is not a right, but a gift. Every new life is ultimately connected to the one who's the author of life. We are the created, not the creator. Further, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If there are good things in your life, and we all have good things in our lives, they flow ultimately from the Heavenly Father. And we are to look behind the surface of things like our hard work and productivity and accomplishments to see the gracious hand of God. For nothing good really originates but with us, but with the goodness of God. in the Old Testament. Very relevant passage. I would encourage you to read the passage in entirety. But in that passage, God warns the Israelites as they're just about to enter the promised land about this attitude that is so deceptive. Just a couple verses, Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, we'll read today. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so on. You see, what stands behind all good things, even our strength, our wisdom, our productivity, is the provision of God. There is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. We owe everything to God. And conversely, I reflect frequently on this verse from Psalm 103:10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The greatest corrective to entitlement is actually to spend time reflecting on our sinfulness. Before a holy God, the righteous judgment is death. What we deserve in the court of God's holy justice is eternal condemnation. But what we have all received is amazing mercy and grace. And even in the midst of difficult times, or even maybe even more in difficult times, we need to reflect on the daily and even moment by moment provisions, goodness, mercy of God. So we need to challenge attitudes of entitlement. Second gratitude stealer is envy. Envy. Envy is always looking to see what other people have and comparing. It's very easy to look at someone with a better car, a bigger house, what appears to be a better job, an easier life, better marriage. And envy grows. Envy grows. Oh, to be in the U.S. where we could have already had more vaccines. Envy grows. It's so easy to get into a cycle of comparison and envy those who have it better than we do. And it creates this discontent. It robs us of thankfulness for the moment. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy not only steals away thankfulness, but peace and joy too. Envy allowed to take root and grow leads to self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. And this can be such a terrible pit, but it's so easy to slide into, isn't it? Woe is me. Why should I be going through this when that person has it so much easier? If God really loved me, he would give me what I want, what I know I really need. Why should I struggle and go without such and such? Why? I'm just as good a person as them. I work just as hard as them. Why don't I get the breaks they do? On and on it goes, right? And envy leads to bitterness, which gives us all kinds of excuses for being miserable and complaining. It's almost impossible to be grateful if our thoughts are filled with envy. Of course, envy is just one form of actually a greater problem, which the Bible describes as greed or covetousness. This is the third gratitude stealer we'll look at today. Luke 12:15 says, Jesus warned his followers with these words, watch out, watch out. Be on your watch, 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 watch. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Because life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. What a word for our day. One person put it this way. At its core, greed flows from a heart that does not believe that God and whatever He chooses to provide is enough. Is enough. God knows what we truly need. And our faith must grow to embrace that and trust that. And always nurturing this insatiable appetite for more. It's covetousness. It's greed. It's common as it is. It's greed. And it works against our souls. It works against our joy. It works against our gratitude. Coveting is wanting something so bad that we become convinced that we cannot be happy without that thing. And God says, we are to find our satisfaction in Him, not in things, not even in others. And at the core of our spiritual problem is that we thirst for God but try to satisfy it in other things. And even other people. Come to me. Come to me is Jesus' invitation, and you will find satisfaction for your souls. That stuff and experiences and even other human relationships will never be able to meet. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am living water. We will only find contentment and true joy in Him. And so we need to reflect frequently on our times when we're alone with Jesus, on what's driving us. Our society has normalized greed and covetousness to such an extent that we don't even recognize it as a problem. My friends, joy will never be found in having more and more stuff. It's always so temporary. Jesus alone can satisfy the deep hunger and thirst of our souls. When we rest in Him, we can be truly thankful. So these three, entitlement, envy, greed, they all work to rob us, to steal away contentment, gratitude, joy. And so we must be alert to the temptations they bring. Spending time alone with Jesus will give you space to reflect on these attitudes, perspectives that are robbing you of joy. I encourage you, take some time this week. Carve out some time to get alone with Jesus. Turn off the TV. Get away from the computer. Get away from your phones. Reflect on your relationship with Jesus and maybe these joy stealers, how they're operating in your life, and confess them and invite a renewed perspective before God. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's good will for you in Christ Jesus. Thankfulness, this side of heaven, you see, it always takes place this side of heaven in imperfect circumstances. And if we are waiting for better times so that you might feel more joyful or thankful, then we're simply going about it the wrong way. We're going about it backwards. There is no better time than right now to praise and worship our God. We have all received His grace and mercy simply by being alive today. And if we have received the gift of His forgiveness, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, then we have already received the greatest gift a person can ever receive. For you see, God loves you, and He loves me. Jesus loves you, and He invites you to draw near to Him. And yes, yes, He will draw near to you. Would you pray with me? Father God, you know how often I need to be reminded of these words. To rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Father, we all struggle in our fallenness, in our brokenness, in our fallen mindsets, to be gripers, to be complainers, to not see, to not have eyes to even see your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your provision and your good gifts that flow into our lives on a daily basis. And we spend so little time giving thanks. We spend so little time actually worshiping you and rejoicing in your love and your goodness, what you provided. So, Father, in these times that, yes, are hard, and we know that in your grace you invite us also to lament, but may we also praise you and worship you, draw near to you, and know that you draw near to us, and that you will strengthen us and help us. So, Father, even now in these moments at home or here, as Phil comes and leads us in a couple more songs of worship, help us turn our thoughts and our hearts towards you, to take these words into our hearts, let them shape us, renew us, and pour out our hearts to you, for you are worthy, worthy of all our praise, our heartfelt thanksgiving. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.